भगवते वसुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय नित्रे निमीलय यसि नक्तम् अदृष्टा बन्धुस् त्वं रोर्विशि करुणं बत चक्रवाकी दश्यं गतावयमिव च्युतपादजुस्तम् किं वाषझं स्प्रियसे कवरेण बोधम् नेत्रे निमीलयसि नेत्रे निमीलयसि नक्तमदृष्टा बन्धुस् त्वं रोरविषि करुणं बत चक्रवाकी दशं गता वयम् इव च्युतपदजुष्टम् किं वा शुद्धं स्प्रियसे कवरेण बोधम् नेत्रे
Your eyes.
Nimilayasi,
you keep closed.
Naktam,
during the night.
Adrista,
not seen.
Bandhu,
who's beloved.
Tvam, you.
Roravasvishi,
are crying. Karunam,
pitifully.
Bata,
alas.
Chakravaki,
O Chakravaki,
female crane.
Dasyam,
servitude.
Gata,
attained.
Vayam
iva,
like us.
Achyuta,
of Krishna,
Vada,
by the feet,
Jushtam,
honored,
Kim,
perhaps,
or
Sajam,
the flower garland,
Spriyayase,
your desire,
Kavarena,
in the braid of your hair,
Vodham,
to carry.
Translation.
Poor Chakravaki, even after closing your eyes, you continue to cry pitifully through the night for your unseen mate. Or is it that, like us, you have become the servant of a tutor and hankered to wear in your braided hair the garland he has blessed with the touch of his lotus feet? So here, in this chapter, chapter 90, text number 16, the summary of Lord Krishna's glories. These are the prayers. This is the second of the prayers of the queens, Krishna's queens of Dwarka. And they are offering these prayers in with their heart filled with divine love of God in a mood of separation, such an intense mood that in fact it has brought about brought them to a stage of what we call divine madness. So these are the mellows or the experiences of the transcendental emotions of the devotees of the Lord. This subject matter, of course, is very confidential. It is not easily understood. We see that what to speak of understanding the very subtle, confidential, deep feelings of the most exalted residents of the spiritual world. That is a very, very mysterious subject matter. Generally, most people in this world, we have, because many upon the animal platform, and then even amongst those who have reached the human platform of life, most of them have no real concept of spirituality at all. Even many of those who actually follow religious principles have no real concept of spirituality. They have no concept, no firm grasp on their own nature as an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, and they have even less understanding of the nature of God. Many of them have who follow religious principles, they have some vague idea that yes, there is a God. And then there are a lot of cloudy, confused ideas about what God may be like. But there's nothing really solid. Sometimes we see different people from different religious groups. If we talk about God and we use the name Krishna, they become disturbed. And they think, Krishna is your God, but we have our God. So we don't worship your God, known as Krishna. So they think that we shouldn't call God Krishna, because they believe that they are worshipping the true God, but they don't call him Krishna. So there's some problem there. They actually don't know the name of God. Right? They don't know the name of God. Although they don't know the name of God, if Prabhupada or the Acharyas would say, well, you don't know the name of God, but we can tell you the name of God. His name is Krishna. Oh, no. His name cannot be Krishna. Right? So they admit, we don't know the name of God, but if you tell us that the name of God is Krishna, we'll say, no, it's not. Now, that's probably, for many people, that sort of distant relationship with God, where they do not even know his name, is, can point out the level of love that may be there. Right? So, as we know, in this world, when there is a question of love, there is a relationship that, you know that person's name, you know that person's personality, you know that person's activities, you know the places that person likes to go. When that person is in certain moods, you understand those certain moods about that person. And because all those when all those particular features of a person are very, very attractive, very sweet, then of course there's a possibility of love. But if a person has no idea even what the name of that person is, and then they claim, we are great lovers of God, but we don't know what the name is, we don't know where he goes, we don't know what he looks like, we don't know what he does, but we are the great lovers of God. Like that. And you are not. We are the great lovers, although we know nothing about God. But one thing we definitely know, although we know nothing about God, you are not lovers of God. And God's name is not Krishna. And he doesn't have the form of a cowherd boy, and he doesn't live in Vrindavan. That is their stance. So, for most people in this world, of course, therefore, these sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam are out of their reach. They're too confidential. And so therefore, generally, we don't discuss this sort of subject matter for ordinary persons, because they're dealing with something so inconceivable that they will, take it as something mythical, as something ridiculous, as something, fanciful, as some imagination of some poetic writer. Because that is just beyond their conception. but for here, for the devotees, of course, who read Srimad Bhagavatam, they're very, very elevated. Very elevated souls within this world. They're the best of the lovers of God. Krishna confirms that in the Bhagavad Gita. Even the neophyte devotees who have some, faint appreciation of Krishna, God, his name, his various pastimes, they are very elevated, even the neophyte devotees. Even the beginning devotees who have that understanding of Krishna, they are very, very elevated. They have passed through all the different external, pompous shows of religiosity, mechanical forms of worship where there's no real love or bhava, spiritual emotions. There is some material sentiments or for some fanaticism. Devotees have risen above that. And they on the beginning stages, the devotees who have some clear appreciation of Krishna, the process of devotional service, how to gradually develop their love of God, they are very, very elevated. here we're talking about the platform of love of God by the queens of Vrindavan, the queens of Dwarka, sorry. Now, here, this is an expression of the very topmost pitches of love. So for everything, there is, a certain quality. if you buy gold, you can get, gold which is, it looks like gold, but actually it's just some, metal that is being coated with some gold paint or something. So that's one form of gold. If we compare love of God to gold, then that is the form of gold that most people will have at best. And for each with gold, of course, you can test it. You know, when I was in Bali, and I bought some gold and silver, and one of the locals, he brought a little stone which looks like a shalagram, very, you know, very black and smooth, and because you can rub the gold on that black stone, and according to the quality, you can tell exactly what you have. So if you rub gold on that black stone and it comes up some copper colour, then you know you have something which is being coated and it's not really gold. and if you rub gold and you know, you may get same with silver, you can tell according to their purity, you get this more bright golden streak that will come out on this black stone. So in that way, everything is tested, and you can see, oh yes, this is pure gold. You know, this is maybe 19 carat or, you know, 10 carat. You can actually see very, very clearly. So in the same way, the love of God manifested here is very, very pure, very, very elevated, very condensed and very intense form of love of God. Where this form of love of God, of course, on the platform of conjugal love. So in the relationships that we can actually develop with the Supreme Lord, when a person is completely detached from everything in the material world, they have no attachment, no attraction at all to the material world, but they're attracted to the Supreme Lord, then they can have a form of love beginning in neutrality. When that form of love is more intense, then one actually has a form of love known as servitorship, where one can wants to render some service, not just neutrally appreciate, but to actively engage with that person that loving sentiment is there with. on a higher level, that service attitude, when it becomes more confidential, can become very friendly. So there's a friendship relationship that can be had with the Supreme Lord. When that confidential friendship increases, and there is a very protective mood and a nurturing mood, and the devotee, they feel that by their love they are almost maintaining the wonderful existence of the Lord. Then there is a parental type of relationship. And on the highest level is the conjugal mood of love, where the devotee actually becomes the lover of the Supreme Lord, and all of the various qualities of the previous relationships are all included in that conjugal relationship as well. Now, on that platform of conjugal relationship, so these are the girlfriends of the Supreme Lord. So imagine how confidential these are. God's girlfriends, very, very confidential love. Of course, those girlfriends are not ordinary girlfriends in the sense that we no girlfriends. These girlfriends, of course, of Krishna are his own spiritual energy, and specifically they are manifestations of Krishna's own spiritual pleasure potency. So actually they're non-different from God himself. So these lovers, conjugal lovers of the Supreme Lord, there are different categories. We have generally three. You have the gopis of Vrindavan, who, you know, Srimati Radharani is the full and complete manifestation of Krishna's internal pleasure-giving potency. So then you have the queens of Dwarka, who are expansions of the gopis of Vrindavan. And those queens of Dwarka, their mood is slightly more in awe and reverence. So whereas the gopis of Vrindavan, their mood is actually more, there is no awe and reverence. Hari Bol, please don't talk. Their mood is of the gopis is actually very, very confidential, very, very sweet, and there is no mood of awe and reverence. Whereas the queens, there is appreciate the opulence of the Lord, and therefore there is a that opulence to some degree covers the sweetness that can only be experienced by the gopis, who are not at all affected by the Lord's position as God. For the gopis, there is no, they do not relate to him as superior. In fact, by their love, they control the Lord. So then of course there is the Lakshmi within Vaikuntha, although again that is a much more different type of love. It is a relationship of the Lord and his consort, but generally the mood of conjugal love, kissing, embracing, that is, you know, generally that is more in Dwarka and Vrindavan, more so than you will find. Is not as so prominent in Vaikuntha. So on that platform, so when one develops pure love of God in it is called prema bhakti, and that prema bhakti is very, very rare, as we describe. Generally, you know, people have no real concept of God or their own spirituality, and there's no real question of prema bhakti. First, most people have to come to the point of the neophyte bhakta, which is a very, very beginning of actually pure love of God. And that's after many, many lifetimes of going through, you know, all the various religious processes and developing transcendental knowledge and what have you, gradually, you know, to become even the neophyte bhakta is after many, many lifetimes of progressing as devotees. So, from that neophyte platform of a devotee, they begin with some faith that they understand, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have that faith. He is the Supreme Lord. I am not going to spend my time worshipping Ganesh, Shiva, Indra for some material benefits. I'm going to worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the, from him expand all other manifestations of Godhead, Ram, Buddha, Nrisimha. Everyone, all material and spiritual emanations emanate from Krishna. That's the beginning of devotional service. That's the beginning of faith. They put your whole faith in Krishna. Not that I will worship Krishna, I will also worship, you know, Ganesh and Shiva and the sun god and this one and that one. As described, one who has faith in many gods has faith in no god. One who loves many gods actually loves no god. You imagine someone in marriage. Yes, I love my husband, and I love all these men too. There's no question of love. Yes, I love my wife. I love all these women too. There's no love. There's no love there at all. It's not possible to reciprocate. Love means we repose all of our love and affections in one person. If we're going to do that, we will repose that love in Krishna, because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is everything. So that's the beginning. That little bit of faith, somehow, after millions and millions of lifetimes and going through all other different processes of religion and knowledge and performing austerities and purification, gradually, when one becomes purified enough that faith dawns within their heart, that is the beginning as Shraddha. So from that Shraddha or faith, then one may decide to associate with the devotees of the Lord, so that faith can be nurtured, protected, increased, developed. So there is sadhu sangha. Gradually one associates with the devotees of the Lord with faith. And by that association, then one may become serious in their devotional service, that if I apply myself to the process of bhakti yoga with faith, coupled with transcendental knowledge given by the spiritual master, then I will make very strong, rapid progress towards pure love of God. So therefore, with that desire, which is generated through the association of devotees, one may decide to take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, the bona fide spiritual master, coming in the chain of disciplic succession, such as we have taken shelter of our spiritual master, who has taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, who has taken shelter of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These line of pure devotees. If we take initiation from other sampradaya or some other gurus, if they are not in the line delivering this highest gift of prema bhakti, if that's not what they're teaching, then you'll not get it. You know, if you go into a grocery store, you get fruit and vegetables. You go into an appliance store, you come out with appliances. It's not that you take initiation from anyone and you will get prema bhakti. To get prema bhakti, you have to take an initiation from someone who can give prema bhakti, because that is what they're distributing. If you want to take to get that prema bhakti, you actually have to take initiation within the disciplic succession of Srila Prabhupada, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna himself, and he is distributing prema bhakti. He has a monopoly. This is pure love of God is for God to distribute, especially to people who are unqualified. No one else can say, no, I have a monopoly. I am the distributor of pure love. If it is not coming from Krishna himself, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is the very form of pure love of God, the embodiment of pure love of God, then you cannot get it. It is coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this pure love of God. So one takes initiation, and that's called Bhajana Kriya. By taking initiation seriously, hearing transcendental knowledge, performing those activities which are conducive to prema bhakti, and avoiding those which are not. That's what a guru in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can teach. Others cannot. Others, if they don't know what Prema Bhakti is, if they haven't not coming in that line, how can they teach what is favourable and what is unfavourable for Prema Bhakti, because they don't know? It is a great science, because we see that there are many people who claim to be great lovers of God, as we discussed, even within the Vaishnava tradition. But they're not great lovers of God, they're putting on some external show. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj, who is the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that if someone worships Radha Krishna and they do not worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age, the worship of Radha Krishna is demoniac. It's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? So that, you can imagine how many people are excluded from actually being Prema Bhaktas, or even properly situated on the path, by that one statement. Right. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Lord himself, and he decided that I will come and give Prema Bhakti. And that gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought, no other incarnation, what to speak of other people, what are these imposter gurus and rascals and demigod worshippers and atheists and demons, even the incarnations of the Lord, such as Ram, right? Even they did not give what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. And nor has anyone given this highest gift of Prema Bhakti to the most unfortunate, most disqualified people in this most unfortunate age of Kali. No one. Now, how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do that? We hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared with his various associates. So, those associates are personalities like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and Sarup Damodar, and Ramananda Raya, those personalities. And of course, those associates also include Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baladev Vijayabhasan, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. These are the associates of the Supreme Lord, that the Lord, he wants them to take the glory because they are his lovers. That is the loving relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. That the devotee is always trying to display their love for the Lord by offering service to the Lord and never accepting anything at all in return for their own profit, because that's not love, that's lust, that's business. As soon as we go to God and pray, you fulfill this desire, and when you finish with that, I have these so many other desires, I'll be back church next Sunday, we'll see how much you've done for me, according to how well you've fulfilled my desires. I may put an extra couple of buttons in the plate when it comes around, like this. That's business. A devotee doesn't, they don't want anything, not even liberation. If you want, Lord, I'll stay in this material world as long as you want and do your work on your behalf, and that will be my greatest pleasure. And whatever tribulations, whatever anxieties, whatever difficulties I come across, that will be my greatest pleasure, knowing that you are satisfied with that service. That is a devotee. So the devotee is offering that service to the Lord, and the Lord is always looking for an opportunity to serve his devotees because he loves them. He wants them to be glorified. They won't give him the opportunity to give service. But the Lord is always looking. So, yeah, for instance, you had the pastime with Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, where Rupa Goswami wanted to offer his elder brother because he was thinking, "You are such a nice devotee, and I would like to, you know, you live so austerely. If I could just get some nice ingredients, I'll cook you this wonderful meal, and you know, I could offer you some service in this way." So after some time, when he was thinking like that, not very long after that, young girl came and said, "Oh, you know, we've been performing, you know, a festival in our village, and we have these ingredients and what have you left over. Please, you take your, you know, Babaji, you take these." So Rupa Goswami was very, very happy. So he immediately cooked this wonderful, you know, feast preparation for Sanatana Goswami, his elder brother, and then he called him, "Please come." So Rupa Goswami, he came there, and he saw, you know, he said, "You know, this is unusual." You know, as Sanatana came there, he said, "Rupa, this is unusual. Where have you gotten these, you know, wonderful ingredients to cook? You know, we're in the forest." Of course, you know, Vrindavan, 500 years ago, when the Goswamis first went there, it was a forest. It was, you know, not like now. And very unusual that he should come across this. And so Rupa Goswami was explaining, "Well, I was thinking I would like to offer you some nice prasadam, and then this girl happened to come along." And Rupa says, Sanatana says, "Tell me about this girl, you know." So he began to describe, you know, "Where's she from?" And he said, "Oh, I haven't seen her around, you know, much." And then he gave this description of this beautiful, beautiful girl. And then Sanatana Goswami understood, that was Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani has come herself. And he became very angry with Rupa. "What have you done to me? You know, practically you have killed me, you have destroyed me. Because we are always trying to serve the Lord, and now we have received service. Now I am, you know, always trying to develop some love, and now I'm just an enjoyer like this." So he was, you know, he was mortified that, you know, so they're just, that is the devotees, they, and again, with Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, similarly, that he used to chant the holy names of the Lord, and because of their great love, they just chant, you know, and they just absorbed because of that love and that mood of separation from the Lord, from the lover. And so Raghunath Das Goswami, he would just sit and he would just chant, and he would just chant all day and all night. And, you know, they would sometimes, you know, maybe there would be maybe an hour or an hour and a half sleep, and maybe, you know, once a day a little bit of, a little palmful of, you know, buttermilk like this. That was it. And so he would be chanting, and one time Sanatana, who used to do parakram of the you know, around Govardhan, and he would come, and there he would see Raghunath there at Radhakund chanting, and one time he saw that this tiger came. And when he was looking at Raghunath Das Goswami, he saw this tiger, he was very fearful. But then he saw that this cowherd boy had come, and he understood that that is Krishna. Krishna was coming, he was standing there with a stick to protect Raghunath should the tiger do anything. He would chase him away like this. So then Sanatana Goswami went to Raghunath Das Goswami and said that you know, you have to build yourself a kutir, a little hut, because Krishna has personally come. You know, you are chanting to serve Krishna, but he has been had to personally come and offer you service to protect you. So Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, he considered that, but you know, he considered it to be sense gratification, really, to, you know, have even a little hut. This is, you know, this is the real devotees. You know, when it comes to, you know, there's no question of sense gratification for the real devotees. There's love of God, and the slightest thought of sense gratification is just, you know, cannot enter. So he's thinking, no, I will not even build myself such as it. So they just lived under a tree. So then Raghunath Das Goswami, again he was chanting. Another time Sanatana came again, and then he saw that you know, one day it was particularly hot in Vrindavan. The sun was beating down, and they saw, you know, Raghunath there, and they thought he would die because he just, you know, dehydrated, his chanting. He was just, he had no connection with his body whatsoever. And then they saw that this time this gopi, who they understood, here is Srimati Radharani, she came and she stood behind Raghunath Das Goswami, and she held her veil over his head. And she herself, because she was standing there in the sun, she was perspiring like this. So that time, then after, you know, and then after she disappeared, Sanatana went to Raghunath Das Goswami and he chastised him. You rascal. Now you've made Radharani come here to offer your service. So then Raghunath, you know, he was so disturbed, you know, that he was mortified. He rolled on the ground crying. One, that he didn't see Radharani, and two, that she had to come and that he, you know, he had engaged her in his service. So then he built a kutir. So that is actually the beginning of the kutir system. You know, in Vrindavan, you see the Babajis, they have their kutirs. And that is the beginning, that is where it began from. It is not born out of sense gratification, it's actually born out of pure love. So that is the mood of the devotees, that they are always trying to serve the Lord with love, and the Lord is always trying to serve them. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to give the glory of distributing pure love of God, this greatest gift. Although it came through him, he wants it to actually, the glory to go to his devotees. In fact, as we see with Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Prabhupada to do more than what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, in one sense, to distribute this love of God all over the world to people who have no concept, people who are immersed in the, you know, deepest modes of ignorance. Like this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the glory for distributing love of God and empowering such personalities as Srila Prabhupada to distribute love of God. There is no question of developing love of God if one doesn't go through Srila Prabhupada. That's the point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not stand for it. That here is my devotee. I am giving, empowering this devotee that you will distribute love. No one else, you know, others. You cannot just set up shop. Oh, I will. I don't care about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will worship Radha Krishna, without any consideration of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representatives, I will develop love of God and I will give that to others. And that is why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that that worship is demoniac. That's a slap in the face to the Supreme Lord. That's a slap in the face to, you know, those who are most dear to the Lord. Right? I will forget Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and forget his representatives and forget his disciplic succession. I will worship Radha Krishna, I will become a great Prema Bhakti, and I will distribute that Prema Bhakti. There's no question, that's just demoniac. That is someone just, wallowing in their own sense gratification for their own personal self-aggrandizement. Look at me, I am this great, spiritual personality. That's all that is. It's just sense gratification. It's even worse, such persons, such imposters are worse than the ordinary person in the street that really just never thinks about God. You're actually better off to just be an ordinary person in the material world, going about your business, than to, be this, poking the nose in God's business. That's a dangerous territory. That the Supreme Lord has his business of distributing pure love of God with his representatives, and we're going to, in an unauthorized way, disrupt the business of God. That is not very good. So that's why, these statements are there by the Acharyas. So therefore, we see that those who actually manifest love of God are the humble devotees you see following Srila Prabhupada. They're not making a huge display to be something greater outside of Prabhupada's, jurisdiction. Their love for Krishna is manifest in that understanding that to display, and as we sing every morning, that we had that verse, of course, Prema Bhakti Hoiti Avijavanasi Yati, from him, every morning we sing that song, from him ecstatic Prema emanates. So we understand that by taking shelter, and therefore we ask, you please give us shelter, Srila Prabhupada, because from you, Prema Bhakti is coming. And one who is doing a very humble service under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, they're Prema Bhaktis. They're developing Prema Bhakti. They might be cleaning the toilets, they might be cooking in the kitchen. So many services. But under Srila Prabhupada's, because from that service to under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, Prema Bhakti comes. Not otherwise. And others who think, I am so advanced, I am so advanced, I will not be sweeping the floors around here or, doing this. I'm going to go out and, teach the highest love of God, something that Prabhupada neglected to, teach us. Prabhupada has us, sweeping floors and, chopping vegetables and distributing books, But he's left out something very important, love of God, and thank God I'm here, because, I will go out and, fill the huge gap that Srila Prabhupada has left. And that's the mentality, So, and sometimes people will set up big, gorgeous, arrangement. Just see the worship, just see the love, just see, what I am doing in the name of Radha Krishna. If it flies in the face of Srila Prabhupada, it's demoniac. And we have to understand that, and therefore we should avoid that. So, we should feel confident that Anyone who does even the slightest service under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, they immediately become so dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful manifestation of Krishna, and they guarantee that they will become Prema Bhaktis. So this is our process, and if we become Prema Bhaktis, then more and more we can, relish these very beautiful prayers by these Prema Bhaktis in Srimad Bhagavatam, and then our life will be, from one wonderful meditation on pure love, kirtans, and associating with those whose hearts are filled with love, that becomes our life, and gradually, due to that association with other Prema Bhaktis, then, that Prema Bhakti, you absorb it. In the association of devotees who are developing pure love of God, just even without hearing them, even without hearing from those who are actually developing love of God under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, even you don't hear from them, even they don't even do anything, you just sit next to them. You just have to sit next to them, and bhakti, prema bhakti, oozes from every pore of their existence, and some of it will get onto us. What to speak of? You serve those devotees. Hear from them like that. Dance with them, chant with them, feast with them like that. Follow in their footsteps. Then guaranteed in Prema Bhakti. So I'll leave it there. No one has any questions?
It's very interesting what you're saying about how we serve not for our nose and God's business. I was reading the other day in the Veda days a lecture from a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying that, he was actually not word by word, he was saying, if you don't like God, that's nice. That's nice too. He was but don't worship false gods.
Yeah.
So he was saying if you love God, that's, of course that's great, but even if you don't like him, that's kind of alright as well.
They're innocent.
We shouldn't worship all these
Mayavadis
and belief and all
this
kind of
nonsense
philosophies.
That's right, yeah. It's better to be someone who's innocent and ignorant than to someone who's, a real pretender and a cheater who's sort of misleading themselves and others. Because people like that will then mislead thousands of innocent people. Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
Even in Isopanishad 9th text, I think mantra says that avidya and vidya, little word.
Knowledge and nescience should be cultivated side by side. Yeah, and that sometimes people who can cultivate materialistic knowledge, and instead of becoming more intelligent, they actually become more foolish. That is purport there. So even on that level, right, of material knowledge, there's sometimes people who have don't put themselves up on a pedestal as having knowledge, they're less of an ass than those who have that knowledge. That's what Bhaktivinoda the course is, right? That if we cultivate too much material knowledge without the side-by-side spiritual knowledge, that's the point there. It's not that material knowledge itself is the danger, but it's where we cultivate material knowledge without the side-by-side spiritual knowledge. That will make a complete ass out of a person. And better off they don't have that knowledge, and then they're much less of an ass.
Thank you very much for the wonderful lecture. As Guru Mataji was saying, names Krishna people don't know. How can they love it? And of course, if you tell them about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are completely paralyzed. They have no idea at all.
That's a fact.
The paper that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving Prema Bhakti to religious ignorance in that lifetime, like actually to get what they were given, they must have been very pious and very slaves.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the question is, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving prema bhakti to people who are, somehow qualified from previous lifetimes, or is he also giving prema bhakti to those who are unqualified? It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he didn't make a discrimination whether someone was qualified or unqualified. He didn't make that discrimination. He was so absorbed in love of God and tasting that nectar that it just sort of overflowed, and he just wanted others to have that as well. That's natural, because on the spiritual platform everything is unlimited. There's no limited supply, right? That I have a stock of love of God. If I distribute that, then the stocks dwindle down, I won't have so much left. So if I do give a little bit away, I'll make sure it's just some of my personal friends who are personally qualified, but certainly not that one over there. they're sort of material conceptions. Love of God is, it is unlimited supply. The interesting thing is that the more it's distributed, the more it increases. Devotees understand that, and therefore as they taste love of God and they distribute love of God, their love of God increases. On a material platform, the world operates on a whole different level. Everything is in limited supply and there's no love. It's all envy, and therefore, we will consider, well, there's this much oil, and we will fight over it, and kill each other. And sell it at a big, big price. If you cannot pay the big price, you do not have the qualification. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only qualification, our qualification is, if you want it, you're qualified. That is our price. And as eager as we are, the more eager we are, literally the more qualified we are.
That reminds me from Prabhu's mission about the Bhaktananda Saraswati Thakur. Mahaprabhu gave me to the Mayavadis. Mayavadis Sunile Ho Sarana Prabhupada said. He came to Bhaktananda Saraswati Thakur and sat where the king kept the shoes. He didn't say that time. For a time, to be personality and be And from that humble position that they persuaded him, please.
Yeah.
And then he gave everyone, and everybody started to.
That's right. That's actually. Yeah. So that's the nature of the devotees. The devotees who actually have love of God, they consider that they don't have, love of God. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was overflowing with love of God, but if someone would say, you have such a wonderful, display of love of God, and he would say that, I'm just exhibiting my good fortune. just see how fortunate am I, like this. He said, if I actually had even a pinch of love of God, if I really had love of God, I couldn't have love of God, because if I, in the absence of Krishna, how could I possibly still be alive? How could I possibly still be alive if I have love of God? Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the last 12 years of his life, he he always manifested the mood of Srimati Radharani in her, you know, heights of separation from Lord Krishna. And therefore, day and night, he actually used to talk like a madman, just absorbed in the same mood as Srimati Radharani. And he was experiencing very, very intense separation from Krishna. And, you know, he would also, you know, just this pitch of separation, as with these queens, it would bring them him to a point where they just become stunned, because all these symptoms of transcendental ecstasy just, you know, take over the body and the mind and the heart, you know, all at once, and they're just so powerful, like, you know, a tidal wave of love and so many different waves and emotions, and one becomes just completely stunned in love of God and just cannot function anymore in the material world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just talking like a, you know, crazy person, and then and gradually he would this crazy talks, as you know, exhibited here by the queens of Dwarka, and also exhibited by the gopis. This is one of the you know, 10 transcendental effects that this divine love in separation can have on you know, one's body and mind. The last point is what they call death. It's become so, you know, the pitch of love in separation becomes so powerful that you just cannot function, and it's like everything just collapses. It's not really death, but it's almost. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes, he would just, you know, collapse after, you know, manifesting for hours and hours these ecstatic symptoms, and then he would collapse. And the only way that they knew, is he dead? They're thinking, he looks dead, you know, and they put a little cotton swab under his nose, and there's just the faintest little movement of the cotton, and they would understand, he's still alive, like this, you know. So, and then they would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they would sing, you know, songs until he gradually come back to external consciousness like that. And then the next day, it would begin again. He would hear the chanting, and he would begin the feelings of separation from Krishna, and gradually the ecstasy would increase, and then he would become mad and mad, and then go like this. So he spent 12 years like that, showing us, you know, this is a lover of God. But if you ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, you say, you are so exalted, I do not have a pinch of love of God. And that is, you know, that is where you see the real lovers of God. They don't advertise themselves, but they're always looking for the opportunity to serve the Lord, and they will never accept from the Lord even the slightest hint of sense gratification. Pride is massive, massive sense gratification. You know, look at me. You know, everyone give me respect, everyone give me credit, like that. That is a massive amount of sense gratification. And a devotee who actually has love of God, that is a horrible, horrible thing. You know, that I am doing this service, you know, and I don't want anything back, anything back. Therefore, they're very humble, and they just perform their service quietly, very expertly, never looking for attention, never looking for credit, never, you know, trying to present themselves as a big devotee so that somehow there's some profit, even on the slightest subtle degree. That's actually the real exhibition. But most devotees who actually therefore exhibit, you see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, highest, you know, Prema Bhakti, resident of the spiritual world, very, you know, just almost like just a lovely grandfather sort of figure. Except for the fact that, because Krishna reveals, you know, this lovely grandfather figure spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and that is something that even the Supreme Lord didn't do. So that gives away their position. But the fact is, if you look at the, you know, quality and character, personality, such as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, and Srila Prabhupada, just that humility. You know, many devotees, you ask them what is one of the greatest qualities, you know, that struck them in their presence of Srila Prabhupada, and they would say that although everyone could understand, here is the greatest personality in the universe. Everyone could understand that. But what was astounding was that he never looked for even the slightest... There was no question of him being self-important. That you know, he went out of his way. In Prabhupada's presence, everyone else felt that they became important. Srila Prabhupada, by glances, by his, you know, always praising his disciples, you know, well, they are, you know, how would I have done anything? They have come, and because of these Westerners and, you know, the people from India, what have they are spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. I am just an old man like that. So these are the real symptoms. These are the real symptoms of love of God. Not that one is rolling around on the floor and, you know, making, you know, watch me, you know, and they're waving, you know, heaps and heaps of paraphernalia in front of Radha Krishna. Look, I'm waving this and I'm waving that. You know, look at me, look at me. Like that. So we can leave it there. Sorry.